We have been thinking through what does it mean to follow Jesus in very challenging times, a series on discipleship called Following Jesus. This morning I want to talk about desperate discipleship. And all these messages in this series are coming out of Luke's gospel. And today we're going to look at Luke chapter 8, verses 43 to 48. Luke 8, 43 to 48, desperate discipleship. You can follow along on the screens or from where you're sitting. I'll go ahead and read that for us. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you, are pressing in on you." Verse 46, but Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declaring in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." This is God's word. Three things this morning I would like for us to be challenged by and encouraged by before we approach the table. Our first communion together live like this for months, and so this is going to be a particular highlight for us. Desperate discipleship often begins with loss in our lives. We'll explain that in a moment. Secondly, desperate discipleship hungers to be filled. Something in us, because of the losses in our lives, drives us to seek that emptiness and that pain and the wounds. We seek for it to be filled. And thirdly, this desperate discipleship drives us to Jesus daily. Luke records for us this encounter with the very sick and broken woman. By no means is she afflicted because of any particular sin or sexual sin or anything like that. She had a physical ailment, a condition, as far as we know. And Jesus, if you look at the chapter in the earlier verses, had just been on basically a mission trip to a very different part of their community, the non-Jewish side, where he encountered demon-possessed and very broken, needy people. And so after doing that, he's returning back to Israel's side of the Jordan River. And you would think, well, those people out there who are very different than us, they have a lot of needs, and of course they need Jesus, but here he's in his hometown, in the Israel side of the river Jordan, and right away, the needs of the Jewish people are no different than those of the Gentiles. Jairus, in the verses before our passage, finds himself with a daughter that is literally becoming lifeless before his very eyes. She's dying. And here we have this woman. Luke 8 is a double miracle of both Jairus and this unnamed woman experiencing tremendous loss. Desperate discipleship begins often in our lives with a sense of loss. The experience of loss in our lives often is one of the most painful experiences of our lives. It was in the summer of 1979 where my dad invited me to visit Korea for the very first time as a 10-year-old. I wasn't exactly sure why we were going. We stopped from Chicago to LA to Honolulu to Tokyo and then finally to Seoul, Korea. And after many, many hours of driving, I finally understood why he invited me to come out to this adventure. Little did I know, it was because his mother, his dear mother, had passed away. And we were going there to participate in her funeral and burial. And here I was as a 10-year-old seeing my strong, emotionally unmoved father wail like a little child at saying goodbye to his beloved mom who raised him and his many siblings in destitute poverty during a time of war. I also wept, not because I was seeing my own dad weep, but we did not treat my grandma very well when she came to visit us in the States in the 70s. She couldn't speak English, we couldn't speak Korean, she dressed funny, smelled funny, she smoked cigarettes a lot. I didn't really know what that was, being a young child at that time, and I mourned not only the loss of my grandmother, but my mistreatment of her, not loving her and respecting her, regretting that I did not have time to apologize and reconcile, because family pain is often some of the worst pain in our lives. When we experience loss, it is indeed some of the most painful experiences of our lives. And it doesn't have to be just a physical death or a passing, but it can be one of many things. Here, this woman, experiencing this uncontrolled bleeding for 12 years, she had spent all that she had on those that she thought could heal her, on doctors, physicians, to stop this bleeding, but she could not be healed by anyone. Desperate discipleship often begins with a loss in our lives that deeply wounds us and leaves us wrecked. But we find, just like this woman, who was most likely suffering from a uterine hemorrhage of some sort, but it was much more than just a physical ailment. Because in the Jewish culture, and looking at the Old Testament laws, we see that those women who not only are having their monthly cycle, but anything beyond that time, Leviticus 15 tells us, or she has a discharge beyond the time of her impurity, all the days of the discharge, she shall continue in uncleanness, ceremonial uncleanness. According to Old Testament law, where she could not interact socially or relationally to other people, other human beings, and to have this social isolation and broken relationship and the stigma of not only being sick, but being unclean, according to the book of Leviticus, for 12 years of her life. Imagine not only the loss of her health, but all in her life that would bring meaning and joy and significance cut off. She experienced grievous loss in her life. And one day she heard that Jesus was coming into town. That sense of loss would drive her. A marriage struggle. A relationship not turning out as you hoped and dreamed, with a child, with a grandchild, with a sibling, with a parent. We experience much loss in our lives. I mourn the fact that I cannot be with my parents right now physically as they age, and my dad's now in his 80s. FaceTime is not enough, though we appreciate the technology. We all have a sense of some kind of loss, and it points us back to what happened in the garden. Because of our rebellion against God, we have been banished. There is a separation. There is a sense of loss. When we look out at the world, when we think about racial injustice, when we think about the things in our lives that aren't going well, we wonder, this is not the way life should be. Exactly. There is a profound sense of loss in the heart of every human being because we know that things aren't the way they're supposed to be. Something is amiss. And that loss in our lives often, secondly, drives us, that hunger, to be filled. Desperate discipleship turns us not to those with the degrees and experience, as she turned to her doctors, and they couldn't do a thing. But she instead sought that filling by seeking after Jesus. Desperate discipleship hungers to be filled. She came behind him, touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" That was a touch of desperation. That was a touch of faith. Who touched me? Lord, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people all touching you, all running after you. No, who touched me? I felt the power go out. We don't know why this woman was afflicted with this terrible illness. That belongs to God and God alone. It wasn't because of a sin particularly in her life. We don't know. But she was sick. Here are the Levitical laws. She experienced social isolation, grievous loss in her life because of it. She was destitute, poor. Everyone knew that she was sick. No one wanted to be around her. Imagine the self-imposed scarlet A that she wore on her chest, figuratively. The shame that she carried in her life because of this situation, unfortunate as it was. We don't know why, but that caused her to seek that loss to be filled. Both Jairus and this woman, one pastor wrote, has only one thing in common. They are victims of desperate circumstances, and they have no hope apart from Jesus. He was their only hope. She spent everything that she had, living in utter poverty, and those who are trained physicians that could heal her, and no one could do a thing. Jairus, a synagogue ruler, a woman here, nameless, no social standing, utter poverty, only her shame to her name. Yet through both of their losses, they were seeking Jesus in desperate discipleship. Because sometimes, though we don't realize, and maybe in this side of heaven, we'll never know why particular losses and tragedies and things that bring about pain in our lives, we may not ever get that answer in this side of heaven, but there they are. And what do we do with them? And this morning we're encouraged to, through desperate discipleship, seek the filling of those losses in your life in the one that indeed could fill, just as we see here with this woman. We often despise the holes and gaps and losses in our lives, but how often God scoops down his hand and uses those very things for us to seek him in a way desperately that we would never have done so without that loss in our lives. That's the power of redemption. That's the power of radical grace. This is what we see in this woman's life. We lose something. We no longer feel whole. We don't feel right. But the gospel reminds us that all of us, because of the fall, because of our rebellion, because we don't love God as we should, all of us are seeking to fill that loss, and we do it in different ways. The rich young ruler, the Pharisees, the multitudes, many who are lost, the blind, the lame, the sick. And here we have the woman, bleeding, desperate, poor, unnamed. If I could only touch the hem of his robe, I will be healed. I know it. Could God have allowed loss and taken things away that we could be filled in a way that we never would have experienced otherwise? James Edwards, New Testament teacher, says, despite her embarrassing circumstances, she pushed through both crowd and disciples, pushed to reach Jesus. Her gender, namelessness, uncleanness, and shame, none of these things will stop her from reaching Jesus. That is what we call desperate discipleship. And we're reminded, thirdly and finally, that desperate discipleship drives us to Jesus daily. What's fascinating here is that that woman, the instant that she touched Jesus' robe, his cloak, she knew the bleeding stopped. Physically, she was healed. And she probably was getting ready to sneak away, shrink back into the crowds, and disappear. But Jesus knew that she needed a kind of discipleship that was more than just surrounding her physical ailment and physical disease. Who touched me? She knew she could not get away. This is so hard to read. You think about what she has gone through. The woman saw that she was not hidden. Luke is deliberate in using that word hidden. She came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she touched him and how she had been immediately healed. In front of all those that she sought to hide from, in her shame, in her brokenness, in her loss, she now before them and Jesus declaring the story of loss in her life. And in the midst of that, Jesus was providing another healing, not just physically, but emotionally. The wounds in her mind, her heart, and restoring her back not only to himself as her maker and creator, but to all those who knew she was. He has come to bring the shalom of God, restoration and renewal between her and people that she desperately needed in her life. Desperate discipleship is not just a one-time event or a power encounter, but it is a daily experience that seeks to renew us physically, emotionally, holistically. That's why Jesus came looking for her. Years of agony, Dr. Bach, theologian, says, an embarrassment, a reverse, yes, in one brief touch. And it was through Jesus asking her, who touched me, that she experienced healing as she shared her story of loss and grief. And Jesus declared before all, daughter, your faith has made you well. Well, he's saying this even though physically she was already healed. It's the emotion, it's the heart. Every aspect of her life being restored back to humanity, socially, family, friendships. Go in peace. How does Jesus restore us through our losses? How does he fill us? The one who knew no sin became sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It is through Jesus' loss that we are about to once again stare at him on the cross through the sacrament of Holy Communion that becomes our gain. It is through his utter humiliation of dying, a death of an accursed, crucified outside the very city he came to love and serve, outside the city gates of Jerusalem. His humiliation becomes now our pride and glory. It is his death and sacrifice, his loss, that becomes our life and filling. The woman's bleeding stopped because Jesus' blood was allowed to flow freely on Calvary, and so with you and I. When we cry out, God, I'm going through so much, he understands our loss and pain. He gave his own son and watched him die naked on a Roman cross for our sins. He is a God who understands. Now, could you imagine going into the home of this lady? I tell you, there was dancing through all the night in worship, in thankfulness, in tears, embrace, and a communal meal with her family and friends. She was restored. She was filled. She experienced a healing that she couldn't even have dreamed of. Imagine if she just shrunk back with the bleeding having stopped and ran back, she would still have lived in darkness and shame because she was not declared by Jesus publicly, your sins are forgiven, you are healed. Nathaniel Hawthorne's Scarlet Letter says, regarding Hester Prynne, she had not known the weight until she felt the freedom. This is what Jesus comes to do in our lives. As you think about the devastation of loss in our lives, he seeks to fill you and transform you. In this challenging time of isolation of COVID-19, we all have experienced much loss in our lives. But Jesus, through desperate discipleship, seeks to fill you once again. There is no loss in our lives that he cannot understand. There is no loss in our lives that he cannot fill. Desperate discipleship daily returns to the one whose power is available in the cross to heal us, to renew us, to restore us, to bring the shalom of God, the beauty of the Garden of Eden before the fall, surely back into our lives, our community, our nation, our world. Run to him, brothers and sisters, to the one who can fill you and touch you and heal you. Call for him, cry out to him, touch him with desperation and faith. Experience his healing power. And remember, as you are being healed, and that's a lifelong journey, let us be reminded that we are called to invite others in our communities, in our lives, our friends, our spouses, those that need the touch of God in their lives, in the person of Jesus. We are called the ministry of healing and restoration and filling of hurting people, all whom have experienced profound loss in their lives. Desperate discipleship is what we are thinking about this morning. It begins with loss. Through that loss, we seek to be filled. We try many different things. Doesn't work. God is the heart healer. He restores our loss with his own loss in himself, and we are driven to him daily. Hallelujah. Let me pray for us, and we'll jump right into communion. Father, we give you thanks for this time, and as we look to the one whose blood was allowed to flow, that our bleeding could be stopped. We pray you would fill us once again. Touch all who are going through seasons of loss and mourning and pain. Fill us and make us whole. Let us encounter you in the sacrament of Holy Communion as we run to the one who covers our shame, who makes us as white as snow, who fills the painful losses of our lives with the kind of joy and wholeness and healing that only you can bring. Hallelujah. Amen. As the church has done for